Well, I'm excited for what God's been doing in my heart over these weeks as we've been in Proverbs. We're in week two of a message series that we're calling Good Sense, where we're looking through the book of the Bible in the book of Proverbs. And I've been encouraging us to read that along together each day, to be reading one of the chapters from the book of Proverbs that coordinates with the day of the month it is. So there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. That means that today on June 14th, you ought to be reading Proverbs 14 and so on. Now, there's only 30 days in June, so on the 30th, you'll read Proverbs 30 and 31 to catch them all. And if you've not begun reading yet, or you're just hearing this for the first time, just pick up with Proverbs 14 for today and continue as you're able in those readings. If you lose track, just jump onto whatever day it is. And then when July rolls around, you can start again. Pick up whatever you missed since we keep learning from Proverbs. Some of us may wonder, what exactly is a proverb? You know, what is a proverb? Maybe you've heard people say things like, well, ancient Chinese proverbs say, ah, young grasshopper, eat more Panda Express and be very happy. That will make me happy. Same general idea. It's similar, but not quite what we're saying here. The Nelson 3-in-1 Bible reference book that I have gives a nice short and sweet definition for a proverb, so I'm going to use that definition. The short and sweet definition is this: a short, wise saying. That's what a proverb is a short, wise saying. And that, friends, is what the book of Proverbs is full of, short, wise sayings. But these aren't just sayings that you'll find in a fortune cookie. These are sayings that come from the heavenly wisdom of God as he's given them to King Solomon, who ended up being the wisest man to ever live because God gave him wisdom when he asked for it. The wisest man to live other than Jesus. They're wise sayings that come from heavenly wisdom. And as you read Proverbs, you're going to find that sometimes they're just like individual wise sayings. You'll have a page with this seems like just a rapid fire of one wise saying after another that might not necessarily relate to the one before or after it. Other times you'll see like a couple of them that connect together. And sometimes there's whole chapters that have only one or two themes that are talked about in these wise sayings. But in all of them, all of the Proverbs, it is chock full of the good sense of God. Simply good sense. So what I'm doing in the message series, I can't cover everything in these Proverbs because there's far too much in them. So I'm just taking from the good sense that I read. I'm grabbing the things that grab my attention from Proverbs and dropping them into categories to teach us and then talking about each of those categories. Today we have four categories from my list, and under each of those categories is going to be 3 points. So the first category that I have, and these are all things this week about wise living. That's what I found in the Proverbs was a lot about wise living. So the first category for wise living is this. It starts with seeking good sense. We need to seek the good sense of God. Some people think that good sense, common sense, is just a given. Some people have it and some people don't. And it does seem true that some people are born with more of a natural sense of rational decision-making, rational thinking. Some people maybe are wiser on the street than others. But the good sense that we're talking about and from the book of Proverbs is referring to more than rational decision-making or street smarts. Again, we're talking about gaining a heavenly wisdom that only comes from God, and that kind of wisdom is what we need to seek from God. We need to ask for it from God. Like Solomon asked for it, we should be asking God for his wisdom. We grow in godly wisdom as we grow in God. Our proverb chapters from this week give us some good points about seeking this good sense. And the first point is this, choose God's wisdom. Choose it. Choose it. Proverbs 8, 10 through 11 says, choose my instruction rather than silver and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. This verse is telling us that what you know is better than what you have. So many people make success and treasures their main aim and their main goal of life. There's this false assumption in America that if you have enough money, if you have enough things, then you'll be happy. And you know what? It's just not true. It's not true. The truth is that the more money, the more things we have often means the more headaches and the more heartaches that we have. What we really need for wise living isn't to acquire more silver and more gold, but it's to gain more instruction and knowledge about and of our good God. When I was younger, like in my early 20s, I used to write on this on chalkboards and notebooks. I would write something. I didn't write it on bathroom stall walls. It would have been better probably than a lot of things you find on bathroom stall walls, but this is what I would write different places. I wrote a phrase, no God, N-O, no God, no peace, N-O, no peace. Then I would write, no God, K-N-O-W, no peace, K-N-O-W. You don't have God, you don't have peace, but if you know God, you know peace. I would write that, and you know what? It's so very true. The more that you know God, and the more you know God's instruction, the more that you know real peace, real peace. It's at the very foundation of wise living. Proverbs 9:10 says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of knowledge. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Knowing God is about more than attaining a book or head knowledge. The foundation of real wisdom is a beginning understanding of God's position, that God is the Holy One. The Holy One. Do you know that there's nothing about us and our human state, our human condition by ourselves that allows us to approach or even stand before God? When God came to Moses in a burning bush, God told him, take off your sandals because this ground you're standing on is holy just because my presence is here. Simply because I'm present. The foundation of good sense is for us to lower ourselves in the presence of the Almighty God, to empty ourselves of all our pride, all our self-imposed positions and titles that we think we are because God is Lord. God is the Lord. The only reason that you and I can even approach God at all is because of the blood of Jesus. Only reason we can even stand near him or before him is because Jesus dying for us. And here's the thing about God's good sense. The Proverbs tells us that this wisdom was established before time. Before time. Like one of the other Proverbs we looked at last week, Proverbs 8. In that Proverbs, Solomon writes as if wisdom is speaking. Wisdom itself is speaking to us. Solomon lets us know earlier in Proverbs that sometimes he's going to write with parables, sometimes with riddles. He uses different forms of writing to teach us, and that's what I believe he's doing in Proverbs 8. He has wisdom itself speaking to us. Now, when you read this, it sounds very much like it could be Jesus, and some scholars wonder if it's talking about Jesus. I don't think that it is Jesus, because in what I'm going to read, it says that God formed it. And Jesus always was, always is, always will be. Wisdom is something that was there with God. Listen to wisdom speak to us in Proverbs 8, 22 through 31. The Lord formed me, wisdom, from the beginning, before he created anything else. I was appointed in ages past, at the very first, before the earth began. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters, before the mountains were formed, before the hills. I was born before he made the earth and fields and the first handfuls of soil. I was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the oceans. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas so they would not spread beyond their boundaries. And when he marked off the earth's foundations, I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with the world he created. How I rejoiced with the human family. How I rejoiced with the human family. The wisdom, the good sense that we have the privilege to attain, to learn from, has been by God's side before time ever began, before the world was a handful of soil. The wisdom we can choose to draw from holds under its belt the wisdom of all time and even rejoices in us. Not choosing to grow in the good sense, the wisdom of God isn't wise living. And you know what? It brings us to foolishness. It brings us to foolishness. Because of this wisdom, it leads us to our next point about seeking good sense, and it's this: wisdom and good judgment lead to knowledge and discernment. Knowledge and discernment. Listen. Listen to what else wisdom says about itself in Proverbs 8:12. It says, I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. In Proverbs 8:14, common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. Good judgment, knowledge, discernment, they all come out of the good sense, out of the wisdom of God. You know, some people really struggle to make decisions and life choices. Some people really struggle. They find themselves second-guessing almost every turn, almost every move they make. And so they keep asking others, what do I do? How do I do it? When do I do it? Where do I do it? And so on. And sometimes they keep asking people questions, so many questions for so long that they lose the opportunity of making the decision at all because the decision passes. Listen, we need a little less second-guessing of ourselves. Don't you think so? I think we do. Well, do you know where less second-guessing comes from? It comes from the good sense of God. As we grow in God's good sense, so grows our confidence in our decisions. Because with good sense comes good judgment, knowledge, and discernment. When you're familiar and comfortable with God and his way and his wisdom, your decisions flow so much more easily because your judgment is honed and it's matured. Another point in seeking good sense is this: living wise brings the pleasure of God's good sense. The pleasure. We all want pleasure in life, right? We all do. We want real pleasure. How boring does life sound if it's all based only on duty, on getting our life in line with God and such, if there's no real return for us in that? That'd be pretty boring. Let's be honest. All of us want the most out of this life, don't we? Well, guess what? God gave you that desire for pleasure. He intended you for pleasure, and he wants you to know real pleasure. As a matter of fact, God is the author of real pleasure. Walking with God should never feel like drudgery. It shouldn't. And if it does, you know what? You're missing something. You're missing something. What it should feel like is this: joy, peace, hope, pleasure, real pleasure in life. Listen to Proverbs 10:23. Doing wrong is fun for a fool, but living wisely brings pleasure to the sensible. It can be fun to do wrong for a while. If there wasn't fun involved in wrong, then we would never be tempted to do it, would we? But that fun, the fun of doing wrong, is a fool's fun. And it doesn't leave real satisfaction or real pleasure. As a matter of fact, what it usually leaves you with is a lot of guilt and regret. It's like having a piece of fool's gold in your hand. You know that shiny rock that looks like the real thing, but it carries zero value. The real value in life is the wise living that leads to real pleasure from the author of pleasure. The author of pleasure. Knowing that seeking God's good sense leads to pleasure, let's now look at the three other categories we have for this morning for what wise living looks like in different areas of our lives. So the second category, the first area of our life to put this wise living into practice is this: the good sense, having the good sense of wealth. Good sense of wealth. You know, there's a lot of misunderstanding out there when it comes to Christians and wealth. You have one end of the spectrum, one side of thinking that says, well, Christians should be the most prosperous people on the planet because God promises that we will prosper, right? And then you have another side with a perspective on the other end of the scale that says, well, Christians shouldn't carry any wealth. They should give whatever they have away because Jesus told the rich fool, sell all you have and give it away. Jesus himself said that he came to serve everybody and there's no place even for him to lay his head at night. So if you're a real Christian, really serious about Jesus, then you should take a vow of poverty. You have that extreme. I'm going to tell you that there's truth in both of these. There's truth in both. Yes, the Bible teaches that God has a plan for you for a good future and to prosper you. And yes, the Bible does teach that you should sacrifice and give all you have away. So does that make it contradicting? No, it makes it the answer both. God will prosper our lives for the purpose of using it for him and others. God may give you some great wealth, but even if he does, know that that isn't meant just for you. He gives so that you can give. He blesses so that you can bless. I know some beautiful followers of Jesus who God has just simply blessed with the ability to acquire and possess wealth and things of wealth. And these people have continued to use their wealth to support the work of God and ministry in the life of others over and over and over again. And they just continue to acquire more and more wealth to do the same thing again and again. God gives some believers the spiritual gift of giving. And often when you have the spiritual gift of giving, he also gives you the ability to acquire so that you can give more, so that you can use your gift to gift others. Whatever wealth you have, be it large or be it minimal, what's important is our perspective of it. How do we acquire it? How do we manage it? And so on. And our chapters in Proverbs speak clearly to that. So here are 3 points about practicing good sense with wealth and living. The first is this: working hard makes you rich while laziness makes you poor. Working hard makes you rich while laziness makes you poor. That's what the Proverbs teach us. Now, it doesn't give definition to what kind of rich and what kind of poor it's talking about. Sometimes our rich isn't rich as in having lots of money. And sometimes our poor isn't being poor as in not having money, having a lack of money. And yet sometimes it does relate to our financial wealth. Let's see what some of the Proverbs teach us about this. Proverbs 10:4 says, "Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich." Proverbs 13:4 says, "Lazy people want much but get little, but those who work hard will prosper." And then I want to go back to a proverb from our reading last week, from a couple weeks ago, in Proverbs 6:6-11. It says, "Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber." You know, these verses are so, so true. You may skirt by in life for a while, putting forth lazy efforts in your work, but that laziness is eventually going to catch up to you. It'll catch up to you. While if you work hard, the benefits of that will eventually catch up to you as well. Most of us have at one time or another worked with a lazy worker, and it can get really frustrating, can't it? It can be really hard to work with a lazy worker. Sometimes it even seems like that lazy worker is the one who's getting all the breaks. But I assure you, their laziness will catch up with them. However, as a believer in Jesus, our job isn't to judge or to bellyache over those around us who seem lazy. And our position isn't one to compare what we feel like they're getting out of it and to what we think we're getting out of it. For wise living, our place in Jesus is simple. We always work our hardest and we work our best, and God's going to honor that, period. I'd rather have a smaller wallet from a day where I know that I've done my best over having a payload of a lazy man's effort anytime. Dollars made out of lazy efforts mean a whole lot less than rich earnings from a rich day's work. When you work hard for your money, your wealth is going to mean a whole lot more to you, and you're going to be a lot wiser in how you spend and use it. When it's lazy, a lazy person's bankroll, it's not really going to mean that much to you because you've not earned it, and you're going to be much more quick to waste it. The real wealth comes in the return that you've worked hard for, and the poverty is in receiving something for nothing. And speaking of that, we've all gotten something for nothing through the stimulus checks and the bank deposits during the COVID-19. And you know, and some people, they really needed this. They were out of work and they really needed it. And I'll admit, it was a nice little boost for us. Caroline and I were able to pay down some debt we incurred. It was a great thing. But listen, friends, we don't ever want to get too comfortable with free money. from the government or from anybody else, because God wants us to work for it. And it's time for America to go back to work. Some people are making more money right now than on their unemployment because of the COVID-19 government perks. And there's a temptation to sit back and just enjoy that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Learn from the worker ants. When the work is available, go back to work. Now, I'm not being political here. I'm being biblical. The second point to good sense with our wealth is this. To be wise is this. Questionable gain brings questionable results. Questionable gain brings questionable results. Friends, when it comes to wise living, how you make your money matters. God cares very much about what's moral and what's not. He cares very much about what's ethical and what's not. Listen to what the Proverbs teach us about this. Proverbs 10:2 says, "Tainted wealth has no lasting value, but right living can save your life." Proverbs 11:1, "The Lord detests the use of dishonest gains, but he delights in accurate wages." These verses tell us that for wise living, how you gain your wealth matters. It matters to God if your wealth comes from some kind of dirty means. It matters to God if there's some measure of dishonesty in how you earn your money. We got to pay attention to who we work for and what they support and how they do their businesses and how they weight their scales and for ourselves if it's our business. It can be a difficult decision, especially if the money's good. But if we work for or run a business that's got some shady measures going on or isn't in God's good sense, then we got to get out of it. We got to get out of it. God might call you to trust him more than you're trusting your wallet, and he calls you out of a questionable profession or a questionable way of gain. Here's the third point in the good sense about wise living with our wealth. It's this: freely giving leads to greater wealth. Proverbs 11:24 says, "Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything." This verse reminds me of an account of a man who calls out to Jesus, how Jesus responds to him in a story Jesus tells. It's in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. This is what it says. "Then someone called out from the crowd, 'Teacher,'" to Jesus, "'Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me.' Jesus replied, 'Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?' Then he said, 'Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own.' Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced a fine crops. He said to himself, 'What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops.' Then he said, 'I know. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything that you've worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." Jesus says that a person's a fool to cling to what they've got and to keep it all for themselves. Understand that you can't take any of it with you. You can't take it with you, and you don't know how much time you've got. Your life could be demanded of you tonight. And everything that you thought you had and held onto is going to be null and void to you. We've all heard those stories of people who pass away, and then it's learned that they had all this money nobody ever knew they had. And sometimes it ends up going to different foundations that they had chosen, or agencies, or even churches. And sometimes it just gets passed down to family, and sometimes it's just a loss. There's no plan for that money goes. They've just hoarded it. They've done nothing with it. They've made no plans, and it just gets passed on to who knows where. Can I just make a biblical suggestion? Whatever wealth God blesses you with, choose to be a blessing with God and others while you're still alive and you can see it at work. And this word from Proverbs tells us that if we do that, we'll become even wealthier. The rewards of heaven are far greater than anything we can store on barns from this earth and from this world. Let's move on to another category of living wise talked about in the Proverbs from this week. The second category is the good sense of integrity. The good sense of integrity. Friends, your integrity, my integrity, is so very, very important. And there are many things that affect it. Here are 3 points for living wise in our integrity from Proverbs. First is this: you'll find what you look for, good or evil. Good or evil, you're going to find it. You know, we're really excited that our first two children have chosen Christian universities to attend for their learning. Rebecca will be returning to Cedarville University for her junior year in mid-August, and Adeline's headed to Cedarville as well for her freshman year. By the way, we're going to have kind of an open house celebrating her graduation on July 11th from 1:30 to 4:30. Feel free to stop in and say hey to her for that. They're both choosing Cedarville. It's a great school that works hard to present what it means to walk with Jesus in all of their majors and studies across the board. It's a good choice that they're making to pursue what's good and what's right. However, none of us, including Rebecca and Adeline, none of us are naive. We know that you can find good or evil at any school, even to good Christian schools. You'll find whatever you look for. And wise living has to include our determination to look forward to and step into the good sense of God. Listen to what Proverbs 11:27 says. This is an amazing word, a bit sobering for me. Listen to what it says. If you search for good, you will find favor. But if you search for evil, it will find you. Did you catch that? If you search for evil, it will find you. Whoa. Whoa. Listen, evil's looking for you right now, and all you got to do is open the door to it, and it's going to step in. You seek evil, it's going to find you. Now listen, friends, too often we like to dance too close to the edge on this one. Too often we think we can engage in things that don't seem that bad or not all the way bad or just have a little bit of bad in them and believe that we're just going to be fine without falling off that edge. But pay attention to this proverb. If you search for evil, it will find you. Anything that you and I do that can compromises our integrity can take us to places that we don't want to go and places that we never thought we would go to. And all of a sudden, there we are in that space because we didn't take God's good sense back here. And we think, how in the world did I get into this pit and how do I get out? Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Proverbs 12:3 says, wickedness never brings stability, but the godly have deep roots. To stabilize our integrity, we have got to choose to sink our roots deep into good choices. Good choices in God's good sense. Second point of wise living and integrity is this: people with integrity have safe passage. Safe passage. It's just good sense. Living with integrity protects you. Every decision that we make that leans shady leaves us with a potential for a stumbling block on our path along the way, especially today in the world of social media and information that's at our fingertips. One of the things that we remind our kids about as they enter into the social media realm is to be very cautious about what they post on Facebook or Instagram or any other place, because once it's out there forever. You can't take it back. You might think you take it down. It's still out there in the cyber world. And when you apply for a job someday, employers are going to check out your social media, and if you've posted something dumb 10 years ago, it might block your passage into a new job. How many political candidates have had their passage muddled or blocked because of past lapses of integrity 10, 20 years ago? They did something dumb. Proverbs 10:9 says, people with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. Will be exposed. Third point for living with integrity is you got to measure your words. Measure your words. It's not just what you do, it's also what you say with your mouth that can destroy your integrity. Measure your words and the distance that they may take you in your integrity before you speak. Before you speak, there are several verses about our words, about our speech in Proverbs. We're going to look at some more next week, but just in this week's reading, there are several. Proverbs 10:19 says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Have you ever been with someone whose mouth is just getting them in trouble? It's getting them in trouble, and they just keep talking, and it keeps getting deeper. They keep trying to fix it, and they keep talking, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And you just want to say, stop. Stop talking. Too much talking. Just keep your mouth shut. It's getting worse and worse. Proverbs 12:19 says, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Proverbs 13:3, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the godly person gives wise advice, but the tongue that deceives will be cut off. Proverbs 12:18, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. I don't know about you, but I want to have words of integrity that bring healing. I don't want words that are cutting remarks, and I do it often, way more than I want to. God, I want you to reorder my brain to my mouth so that it has integrity in what I speak, that I have words of healing that come out of my mouth. I have one more category of wise living. We've talked about seeking God's good sense, and we've talked about that in our wealth, and we've talked about that with our integrity. One more area to talk about, the good sense of discipline and correction. Discipline and correction. Few people will say, hey, bring on the discipline and correction. I love to be told when I'm wrong. People don't do that. Well, we don't want to be told we're wrong. I hate that. I hate being told I'm wrong. But if we want to be wise, you should welcome correction and discipline when it comes, because if you embrace it, it's going to make you better. Here are 3 points on this one. First, wise people love correction. Again, you don't have to love having your wrongs pointed out to you, but we should love anything that puts us back on the right course. Back on the right course. If my direction needs to be corrected, the initial bringing it to my attention might sting. But if I'm going to grow in good sense, then I got to go through it and receive it so that I can correct my course. Proverbs 9:8-9 says, so don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. Proverbs 12:1, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. How much more blunt can you get than that? Proverbs 10:8, the wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. Proverbs 11:2, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Friends, if you want to live wise and in God's good sense, then drop all the pride and humbly receive correction and discipline when it comes. It leads to heavenly wisdom that makes you better. A second point for wise living and correction is this: accepting discipline is a pathway to life. A pathway to life. Tell me, what happens to a kid who never gets disciplined? We've all seen it. You all know what happens to a kid who doesn't get disciplined. 3 things happen. 1, they get spoiled. 2, they get into trouble. And 3, they don't learn right from wrong. They're unable to learn right from wrong. Giving proper discipline to a child isn't mean. It's not unloving. Actually, it's truly loving them. And from what I've seen in all my years of ministry is that kids, they get to the point, if they're not being disciplined, that they're crying for it. They want someone to discipline them. And so they're going to act up all the more because they want somebody to love them enough to finally say, stop. No, that's not the correct thing. Let me redirect you into the right path. Well, guess what? Adults are just the same. We need discipline. So we need to, if we don't, we're going to get spoiled, we're going to get in trouble, and we're going to blur right from wrong. We know that God loves us by the discipline that he gives us. It's a pathway to real life because lack of discipline kills us. Here's what Proverbs says to us. Proverbs 10:17. People who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray. Listen, it doesn't say they might go astray. It says they will go astray if they lack correction. Proverbs 13:24, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline. Does not sparing the rod mean that parents just have liberty to beat their kids up? No way. Not even close, of course not. But it does mean that there may be appropriate times to spank them. And there are appropriate times for God to discipline and to spank us. His discipline is a pathway to life. Proverbs 10:10, people who wink at wrong, cause trouble, but a bold reproof promotes peace. It's so easy just to want to wink at what's wrong, just to kind of blow it off, especially when you're dealing with your kids. It's easy to do that, but that just adds to the trouble. While being bold enough to bring correction will, in the end, promote peace. People can't have real peace when they're not acting in God's good sense. They have to be redirected, corrected, disciplined. One final point of the wise in living with correction is this. Many advisors bring safety. One of the best things you can do for yourselves is to have a board of advisors, believers in Jesus, advisors for our lives. These are believers in Jesus that we can go to, who are going to hold us accountable, who are going to add discernment to our lives, who can advise us in good decision-making and the good sense of God to help us to make right decisions. It's easier just to try to make all the decisions by yourself. I'll tell you that right off the bat. That's until you make a bad decision. It's wiser to do the extra legwork to seek good advice ahead of time from God-fearing, God-loving, Jesus-loving believers. And guess what? If we're well-advised in life, we're going to have far less need to experience correction and discipline, right? If we're well-advised and make the right decisions to begin with, we're not going to get corrected and disciplined as much because we're going to stay on the straight path. Any good leader knows that he or she needs to surround themselves with some good advisors. Every president, good or bad, like them or not, has a cabinet to help advise them. Every strong organization has a board of trustees. Every strong church or ministry has a godly leadership team or a team of elders. Let's hear from Proverbs on this one. Proverbs 11:24 says, "Without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in many advisors." Proverbs 12:15, "Fools think their way is right, but the wise listen to others." Proverbs 13:16, "Wise people think before they act. Fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness." Friends, there's safety in godly advisors. There is so much in the book of Proverbs on wise living. It is chock full, it's packed. And it's just wise to seek God's good sense with our wealth, our integrity, with receiving discipline and correction. And it makes us better people. And it aligns us to successful lives, the successful lives that God desires for us to have. Let's pray together. Well, Lord, I come to you with gratitude. Gratitude because you don't have us on this earth to figure it out by ourselves. Your word is packed full of practical good sense stuff that teaches us. And Lord, I pray that we are a people that seek your good sense, and that as we read individually on our own through Proverbs, that we just are seeking you every day. We start our reading with, "God, I want your good sense." And we have our ears open and our hearts open and our minds open, and that we engage in your word as we read it. That we engage with you and actually engage with wisdom. So that it's not just reading words on a page and checking off the list, "I got it done today." But it's a seeking you and what we can glean from you in your truth. And that straightens our path, that shows us where to go, that we live into your wisdom that will change our lives. You do have a future for us to prosper us that is full and full of so many blessings. If we're not on your path, we're not going to find it. God, lead us to your path with your great wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, that song is just it's so true for me, and I bet that it's true for you too, that I need him. It's not a matter of, hey, by my own will and by my own power, I can read the Proverbs and I can just put my life in order. It has got to be through the power of God. It has got to be. God orders our lives. And so much of it starts in sweet, simple surrender, an everyday surrender, and asking God to mold me and make me and change me, and making this choice and then this choice. Don't worry about that choice yet. Make the daily choices one at a time that represent his will and his word, and watch how it changes this choice and this destination as we walk his path. God bless you all. Love you all. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the Proverbs this week. Thank you.